Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Can't find fulfillment in a meaningless relationship.
This is the most honest, caring relationship I've ever been in.
I'm glad to see you have such faith in your relationship.
This relationship, it defies all the laws of nature.
What would I bring to the relationship?
What are you talking about?
I'm Jim Burns. Well, you've heard it said that God created each one of us for relationships. It's no secret that developing a relationship with another human being is one of the most challenging things in life. Actually, there are three primary relationships that each of us is called to. A relationship with God, of course, a relationship with others like family and friends, and then there's the relationship we have with ourselves. Well, during the next half hour, I've invited Dr. Cheryl Meyer to join me here on the program, and we're going to talk about deepening relationships with others, yourself, and with God. It's going to be a great program, so keep it right here on Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about deepening relationships with others, yourself, and with God. It's actually a two-part series talking with Dr. Cheryl Meyer. She's the clinical director of the Meyer Clinic in Laguna Hills, California. She has her doctorate in clinical psychology from Rosemead School of Psychology, which is a great school here in the Southern California area, and lives in Southern California with her husband. Cheryl, great to have you with us again.
Thanks for having me back. It's
well,
a pleasure.
I felt like you were our relationship expert last time. So we're just going to kind of keep continuing and bounce right in here.
Sure.
Are people genuinely lonely?
Yes, they are.
Why do you think that? It just seems to me. I mean, it's funny because I throw that and you say yes. And I feel that too. Mm-hmm. Why are people so genuinely lonely?
Because lonely is alone. They're disconnected. There's so much disconnection, not to be pessimistic or anything, but there's so much disconnection these days as people are disconnected within themselves, they're disconnected from God, and they're disconnected in their marriages. Look at the divorce rate, and then people are saying, I have to stay in this marriage and not working on the actual connection part. It's like God didn't say just stay and don't work on the connection part. Cultivate it so you can have connection. We're not meant to be alone. We're meant to be in relationship.
We're not meant to be alone, and that is so true, and yet so many do feel alone. One of the things in your book called Unbreakable Bonds that you wrote with your dad, Paul Meyer, is a phrase that I love this phrase. You had cave, sweet cave, instead of home, sweet home.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what you're saying is people retreat into their own little caves.
Yep.
Being a cave dweller myself at times when I want to go into conflict, it really made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
It's not the healthy way to do it.
And it yet, works.
It works for a while.
But it's not
but it doesn't
the healthy.
Work. Yeah,
exactly.
So help us fellow cave dwellers understand how we can do relationships better if we're not, you know, dwelling in those caves.
Okay. Is not to force yourself to come out of the cave and go, let's just throw all my defenses down and run into the next relationship, because that will make you right back retreat into a cave. Is really learning about how did my parents teach me about boundaries when I was a child? How did they protect me? Did they respect my boundaries? Did they respect their own? Was dad yelling or explosive, or were relationships, did they look scary to me? If they looked scary, then we want to stay in a cave. If they looked scary and we didn't learn how to protect ourselves well, then we want to stay there. The alternative to living in a cave is learning how to protect ourselves well. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the wellspring of life. Is we're meant to guard our hearts. A soldier doesn't go out to battle and go, here's my heart. You know, you can still live in life, but learn how to guard your heart, not by going and isolating in a cave, but learning how can I protect myself and really know that I'm meant to be loved and I can have relationships and I don't have to be overwhelmed. Sometimes people go in a cave because they had one absent father and a very overwhelming, like let's say if the dad was absent and the mom over-identified with the kids and, you know, was enmeshed with them. And then we're like, oh, that's just, it's just too much. And we learn how to be like our father and be distant. And we think relationships are going to overwhelm us when we can learn how to set boundaries. And the more we learn how to develop that relationship inside within ourselves and with God, we're not scared about who we meet outside.
You have something called the cave dweller exercise, and that seems that that's something very, very practical. You want to add to anything you said on that?
There's often two types of people. It's not cut and dry like this, but, you know, there's the jump right in type and the hold back and wait type. So there's the maximizer, someone who's like, I have all these needs. Please love me, like a vacuum cleaner. I know we can all be there, but it's like wanting to suck that love out of everybody. And there's the hold back and wait type that are more the cave dwellers that minimize their need for love. But both of them want love. And usually they'll find each other because the cave dweller thinks, look at this person who's just out there all the time and saying how much they want the love. But that person can be just as unhealthy as the cave dweller. The cave dweller exercise, it's that. It's just understanding, am I more of a jump right in type or a hold back and wait? And what am I getting from holding
back? I think some
back?
Of our listeners just said, okay, I'm the cave dweller or yeah. I'm the other. Yeah. And I married that person. Yeah. I know who these people are.
Yeah.
Now, what do we do if you're in that kind of situation where one's, you know, wearing their feelings on their sleeve and there you go, the other person's the cave dweller. How do you deepen the relationship?
Okay, stop right now. Whatever you're doing is like, stop where you are. That's what I would encourage people to go. Look at what's broken in you, because you both have the same brokenness. It's two sides of the same coin. Neither of them are a healthy response, because trying to manipulate love out of other people and trying to get them to love us and trying to please them and be a doormat, that's the other chapters, am I a doormat, right. is trying to get that from people is not going to happen any more than trying to withdraw and get them to right. follow you into the cave. Right. And so we're drawn to these people at first, oh yes, but then they get on our nerves and why are you such a cave dweller, you know, and why are you all over the place and all, I have to take care of all your emotional needs. Okay. And so it's taking a step back and going, you know what, we have the same core problem. Hmm. Let's empathize with this other person and learn how to come out of my cave more and learn how to hold back and stop trying to get my spouse to fulfill all these, quote, needs that I have when a child needs. An adult can provide well for themselves.
Yeah, that's very good. You say later on in your book, you talk about fight, flight, and freeze. Mm-hmm. Talk about those attitudes and relationships and just decisions that they're making.
Well, people will either, they'll fight and they'll be like, why aren't you loving me? And they'll try to get the person to get it. Why don't you get it? That I'm worth more. Or they will flight. They'll run away like the cave dweller. I just want to run away from this. I don't want to develop intimacy. You know what? This is too much of a challenge for me. Or we'll just freeze. And freezing is kind of like staying with the familiar. Just going with the motions. Even though you don't look like you're frozen in that stuck place of I just need to get by with scraps and live with that, and God doesn't want any more because we see God like we see our parents, and if our parents wanted more, they weren't able again. We say that they weren't able, and you know what? You are able, and God is able, and He's able to able you. It's really learning how to do that.
Good coaching. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. We're talking with Dr. Cheryl Meyer. Don't go away.
Our theme today here on the Homeward Broadcast, deepening your relationship with others, God, and yourself. And the reason we talk about this today, because here at the end of the year, this is a time when a lot of people like to beat ourselves up over the fact that our relationships are kind of fractured, maybe with family members, or maybe our relationship with God isn't going so well. If you want to learn more about how to get past that, we encourage you to go to homeward.com and take advantage of the resources available to you in the articles and media section at homeward.com. And now the conclusion of today's program, here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Dr. Cheryl Meyer, deepening relationships with others, yourself, and with God. And oftentimes, if we're not doing it well with ourselves, we're not doing it well with others, and frankly, we're not doing it well with God. And before we get to the end of this conversation, we're going to talk about all of those again. Cheryl, as you were talking earlier about the flight and the fight and the freeze and all these different things, I thought, you know, there are expectations, and I felt you guys did a great job in your book on writing on expectations, but really there are real expectations, and there are also unrealistic expectations. How do you discern and distinguish between those?
Well, the example I use in the book is if I go to a dinner and have a jelly bean for my dinner and expect that to satisfy my hunger for dinner, I'm going to get really mad at that jelly bean because it's not doing its job. It's not equipped to do that. And one of the definitions of disappointment, an obsolete definition, is ill-equipped or it's something to that effect. It's we're disappointed with the jelly bean. Now, if I have a dinner and then there's a cupcake with a jelly bean on it, it's decorated, I'm like, oh, what a cute jelly bean or whatever. That's so beautiful. And I can enjoy the jelly bean for what it is. But what happens, unrealistic expectations happen. I encourage no expectations, but that doesn't mean you don't have your own standards. And it's not just semantics, but it takes a lot longer than the time we have to explain all of it here. But often we go to our spouses and we're like, okay, my expectation is that you read my mind and find out where my parents left off and you fill in all the gaps. Our spouses could not do that. Even our parents, if they got really healthy now, they can't do that for us now as adults. Another definition for expects is to wait. And we're waiting and we're putting our life on hold in expectations when you can look at how can I be active in taking care of these myself instead of being passive. I have my clients oftentimes write a list of expectations and for all these other people, what they expect. Oh yeah, I can write that out really fast. And then let's look at how you're not supplying these things for yourself. Because a child waits. A two-year-old can't go, I'm going to make some mac and cheese and go down and make it. We learn to wait. And whatever our parents didn't give us, part of us is still stuck in that place thinking we have to wait. Until we educate that part of ourselves and say, you don't have to wait. I'm going to show up for you now.
You're convincing me that what we do at Homeward is important because you keep talking about, you know, parents. And today, I'm actually pretty positive about, I think there are a lot of parents, like I think some of our listeners, who are working really hard at their stuff. Yeah. And really what they're, I call them the transitional generation. That means they perhaps weren't raised in a perfect home and dysfunctional like crazy, but they're saying, we're going to be that transitional generation. And in many ways, you're giving me hope because I think a lot of our listeners are working on that, but yet for a lot of them, they still are still dealing with things that are kind of what you called in your book, leftover wounds. If they're feeling like there's a leftover wound, is the first step to go to counseling, is the first step to go to prayer? I mean, what do you do if you feel like you have some leftover wounds?
I encourage therapy. Of course I do, or I wouldn't be in this field. I mean, the word therapy in Greek is therapos, which means healing. And the psyche, so psychotherapy, psyche is soul. It's meant to be soul healing. Not everyone does soul healing, but, you know, I encourage that. And I do see a lot of parents actually come in and they're working really hard. But what happens is if we don't heal these old wounds, then they repeat. We're just, you know, if our parents totally ignored us, then I see a lot of parents that will go in and be with their kids all the time and like just suffocate their child and not let them have choices in a life. And and so there's lots of different ways that our wounds from our childhood still show up, and we can be the most meaningful parents. It doesn't mean you have to beat yourself up about this. It's just an encouragement to go in and look at, is this really solving the problem of my parents, or am I just trying to make up for it?
Yeah, that's good. How much involved should we be in self-care?
It's like if I asked you, how much should I be involved in, or ought I be involved in care of my car? If I feed myself 3 times a day or whatever it is for people that gets them functioning at their best, if we're meant to be loved, then love generously. And the more you love generously and aren't a doormat and stand up for yourself, the less maintenance it is. It's you end up being less self-centered, less focused, less like a vacuum cleaner, less like I got to run away from these people. You end up being less like that when you just care well for yourself, are generous with love.
No, that's very good. I want to ask why you put this quote in here. It's a great quote. It's by Mother Teresa. Actually, she's quoting St. Augustine. And she says, fill yourselves first, and then only will you be able to give to others.
I put that in there because I loved it so much. I actually have that book with me today. I brought it, Mother Teresa's book. It's in a book called No Greater Love. She lived her life serving the dying and orphans and breaks me up. Sorry. She did this. I just read a quote from her last night, and she was like, if there is any child anywhere, you call me, I will come and get that child. And so she just had a deep love for people, but she was saying this, you must fill yourself first. And not, it's all about myself and I'm going to a spa this weekend. It's, if I am 98 pounds, I can't be 98 pounds, I can tell you. I'm only 5'6", but that would be really small for me, is I wouldn't be functioning right now.
Right.
And I would not be effective for God. And God is love. Why would he not want himself to be in us? If God is love, the more we just love generously and the more we have that and heal these broken places that are blocking out his love, that's how we block it out. We say I love it, but it's
now,
blocked
up. Your eyes are moist from talking about that. What is it that touches you when you talk about this particular subject?
Because I just feel so sad for people that are living disconnected and without this love and you can have it. And I see it so much in the words of just some books that I came across by accident. I guess you can say by accident, you know, in the bargain section of Barnes & Noble. It's like I got these Mother Teresa books, and they're just so full of love. And just seeing how someone can serve like that and be so connected with people and see Christ in every person that she's serving and knowing this is how loved I am. Right. Just she knows there's a strong sense of, you know, I say to my clients, I say, you don't see Mother Teresa. If someone puts her down, she's not going, you want to take it outside? You know, she doesn't want to take you down. It's like, but she was very strong and very loving, and she didn't put up with stuff.
You're right. And it's interesting that we're having a conversation about Mother Teresa as we're talking about deepening relationships.
Yeah.
But there's something that I learned from her and another man named Henry Nouwen, who was very influenced by Mother Teresa and vice versa, probably. One of the things that he did is he took us to the scripture, Luke chapter 6. And he said that Jesus really did three things. He went to solitude. He said, imagine a wagon wheel. He said he had solitude. So that meant he took care of his relationship with God. And he took time with God, even though he was busy and people would have always, you know, been needing him, if you would. Then he went, after this time of solitude, he went with his community, his people, his disciples, if you would, and they spent some time together. And then and only then was he ready to do ministry. We tend to do that backwards.
Oh, yeah.
We tend to do relationships backwards. We give everything we have, from our work to whatever it is, to the kids, to whatever, and then we don't really have time for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, we finally dry up, and we're not able to...
And we're resentful.
Sure. We're irritable. We're resentful.
And our kids annoy us.
Exactly.
And, I mean, the people we love. I know that's exactly what happened.
So I think this is a message that our people need to hear today, that we do have to take care of our own soul, nurture our own soul. That doesn't mean to be selfish. That actually means...
No, it means heal the wounds that are there, that are blocking out the love. Heal them already. You don't have to be carrying around that baggage. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden we're carrying by being so angry and staying stuck and staying without the love, that's what's heavy. It's weighing us down.
Exactly. Now, there's somebody listening who's saying, I wish my husband or I wish my wife was listening to that because they need this, as well as obviously themselves too. But what if you aren't connecting with your spouse, or if your spouse is a needy spouse, or you have a needy parent or a needy kid? What advice would you give them?
I quote the same quote that I quoted in the last show that we did together was from Gandhi, is you must be the change you wish to see in this world. And Jesus said the same thing. Take the log out of your own eye. It's there. I know we don't want to see it, but take it out of your own eye. Be this example. Inspire them to be more loving by you looking at your own fears of intimacy. Look at how you can heal that and how you can grow your ability to love and still grow your ability to set boundaries too. I have this one saying is to permit is to promote. I heard this from this business consultant. That's my godfather actually, but is to permit is to promote. And as long as you keep permitting bad behavior, then you're promoting it. So it's also to choose not to enable other people and learn how to set limits.
Thank you so much for spending the last couple of days with us. Great input.
It's so much my pleasure. And I wish all of you guys out listening so much love. Really, get it for yourself because you can have it.
Okay, that's encouraging words there from Dr. Cheryl Meyer, concluding a two-part conversation with Dr. Jim Burns. You can tell by the ambiance in the room, we were on location at the American Association of Christian Counselors Convention in Nashville, Tennessee a few years ago, talking about deepening your relationship with others, yourself, and with God. And Jim, you know, it's great to have these types of conversations with someone like Cheryl Meyer, especially this time of year, because a lot of times we're going into these family relationships that are somewhat toxic, and it's nice to get some counseling, it's nice to get some good coaching before we go in.
Kind of feel like I'm in the therapy chair.
That's with
her.
Right.
And I appreciate it because she's very God-honoring.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important that we understand that the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall. The multitude of counselors are a safety. That's my major theme verse, it seems like. But I want to emphasize that it's important, I think, sometimes to come from a Christian perspective.
Right.
And Cheryl has done that. You know, in the closing moments of this broadcast, I want to share kind of a story, if you would. It's one of my favorite stories that I think illustrates one of the points she was talking about. You know, we're talking about all these different relationships, but sometimes we don't focus on us. And I think a lot of moms and dads don't deal with self-care. And I love what Bill Hybels said. He said, of the leadership part of your life, and that could mean as a mom and a dad, the leadership even in the home, but of the leadership part of your life, you should spend 50% of your time focusing on you, and that's not selfish. That's, you know, getting refreshed and taking the time to smell the daisies and all that. And so there is a story. It's not my original. It's by a man named Brother Jeremiah, who I never met, but I sure appreciate it. And why it's meaningful to me, Roger, is because I think sometimes I will be so busy taking care of my kids and work and life that I just find it sometimes that I work too hard or that I take life too seriously in my own life. And I noticed, like, for example, in my backyard, I noticed some flowers and they were in bloom. And I went, you know what? I really miss the process of the blooming.
Right.
You know, life's too short to do that. And sometimes we need to sit back and, I think, enjoy God's gift. Well, Brother Jeremiah was at the end of his life when he shared what I'm going to share. And he was reflecting upon the many years of his Christian service. This is what he said. He said, if I had my life to live over again, I'd try to make more mistakes next time. Mm. I would relax. I'd limber up. I'd be sillier than I was on this trip. I know of very few things that I would take seriously. I would take more trips. I would climb more mountains, swim more rivers, watch more sunsets. I would do more walking and looking. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I'm glad he is eating less beans, actually, sure. But I get his point.
Yeah.
He said, I would have more actual troubles and fewer imaginary ones. He said, you see, I'm one of these people who live prophylactically. I'm not even sure what that means. Insensibly, insanely, hour after hour, day after day. I think too many parents do that as well. He said, if I had my life to live over again, I would have more moments, just moments, one after another, instead of living so many years ahead each day. He said, if I had to do it over again, I would go more places, do more things. I'd travel lighter than I have. He said, if I had my life to live over again, I would start barefooted earlier in the spring and stay that way later in the fall. I would play more. I would ride on more merry-go-rounds, and I'd pick more daisies. Mm. Basically, he was a man who was at the end of his life, dying of cancer, mm-hmm. and yet, as he reflected upon it, he went, you know what, I'd spend more time doing, you know, the fun, special things, taking time to smell the roses. That's a good lesson for us. And I think Cheryl talked about that in such a good way today as well. And I know you've got some resources for us, Roger.
I encourage our listeners to go to the articles and media section at homeward.com and follow the prompts there. You've got the get answers section and you can type in whatever topic you're looking for. So if you're looking for some freebie information about how to maybe navigate what's going on in the fractures of the relationships in your life that you might be coming up during the holidays, check that out. Also, look at Jim Burns' book, Faith Conversations for Families, because it's a good opportunity for you to take even a crisis situation and turn it into a faith conversation with your kids. You can order Faith Conversations for Families when you go to homeward.com, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. And speaking of books, Jim, hey, I understand that you've actually been putting pen to paper once again.
I have been writing, and part of what I'm writing is in the Homeward Marriage Initiative. We have a phrase at Homeward right now where we say, it's called the 1% Initiative. What that means is that if we can move the divorce rate just 1%, it's around 50%, maybe a little better in some places, worse in the county that I live in and that you live in. But if we could move it 1%, we could affect 1.5 million kids. And we're doing it in several ways, but what I'm writing right now is actually on getting ready for marriage. You know, most couples put all of their energy into the wedding and they don't put much energy into the actual marriage or the pre-marriage. And so we are coming out with an incredible project that's going to be a book on getting ready for marriage. It's going to be an online tool. It's going to be a small group curriculum that people will use all over the world. And we're excited about it. Here at the end of the year, we're actually still trying to raise some funds to make that happen. Now, we're going in faith that we're going to be able to publish this stuff. But we need to raise at the end of the year about $300,000 to make sure that marriages can succeed and we can come alongside marriages. Every marriage does not succeed. But the fact is that we can help change that percentage. And even if it was 1%, that's a good thing. So as I'm doing this, I'm kind of hiding away writing, but we do have some of the folks in our offices trying to raise money. The radio is a place where we do raise money. We don't raise a lot of money. People who would listen to us for a long time have really seldom heard us talk much about the fact that we are a donor-supported ministry. But at the end of the year, a lot of times people are thinking about giving to a favorite charity or an organization that will make a difference. And as the president of Homeward, I can guarantee you that any gift that you would give to Homeward would be a changed life. And we don't make a lot of money and we don't spend frivolously money, but we actually use it as stewardship in the name of the Lord. And I'm excited about the fact that we're using this year-end money to really help marriages succeed. We're hoping many of our supporters and our listeners and our partners will get behind us and send in something here at the end of the year.
Absolutely. Well, and people understand, I think, that when you're dealing with a nonprofit organization, when someone like Jim Burns is writing books, he's not writing books for his own benefit profit per se, but I mean, this is to benefit the organization, and Jim and Kathy Burns don't take royalties off the books that are sold through Homeward. So you know that when you make a contribution to Homeward.com, that the money is going to ministry first, and that's encouraging to know here at the end of the year. You can give a gift to support our ministry here at the end of the year at Homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.